I can think of no more comforting word in a time like this than the rendering of a psalm that has been spoken to generations of men and women. The 23rd Psalm has been read so often and so repeatedly, and has been read in so many different situations. It's been memorized by billions of people, probably. In times of mourning, the 23rd Psalm just kind of speaks. And in times of gratitude, the 23rd Psalm just kind of speaks. And in times of worship and celebration, the 23rd Psalm just kind of speaks. I am praying that during this time of quarantine and isolation, pandemic, confusion, financial uncertainty and distress, during a time of health concerns, and during a time that we just have so many questions, I am praying that the Lord will be your shepherd. This is where we will spend time today in the Word, looking at the Good Shepherd. We have been taking a look at these emphatic statements made by Jesus Christ. They're powerful statements that he makes of himself, and they're recorded in the Gospel of John. These statements begin with the phrase, I am. And in doing so, in using this phrase, I am, Jesus invokes the covenant name of God from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, Yahweh. And he makes claims to be divine. You see, Jesus, we believe, this is part of our confession, we believe that Jesus Christ is fully human and that he is fully divine. It's a mystery. I don't know how it works. I don't know how the mixture works. I don't know that. I just know that that's our confession. That is what we believe. I believe it. I trust it. And I preach it boldly. Jesus says of himself, and we've looked at this in previous weeks, that he is the bread of life. He says, I am the bread of life. Last week, we looked at his statement where he says, I am the light of the world. And today, we want to look and focus on a statement that he made to his listeners. The Good Shepherd. Seems fitting that we start off with a reading of Psalm 23 and we talk about the Good Shepherd. So let's spend a few moments exploring I am the Good Shepherd. If you want to read with me, I'm going to be reading from John chapter 10, starting at verse number 1. That's the Gospel of John chapter 10, verse number 1. And I don't know if you've noticed, but there are several tabs on the side there that you can take advantage of, and one of them is a Bible tab, and you can click on that, and you can go to the scripture that we're reading. John chapter 10, verse number 1. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospels record the life of Jesus. They were written to specific audiences in the latter part of the first century. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John were written for the specific purpose of making disciples. They were written to convince those who heard the reading of these narratives, these texts, to follow the way of Jesus. And near the conclusion of John's gospel, the author makes this pretty clear. In John chapter 20, starting at verse number 30, he writes, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name." Very, very clearly, John is trying to get the hearers of the text to believe in Jesus, or more importantly, follow Jesus. The Gospel of John is about discipleship. It's about following Jesus, following the leader, following the master, following the Lord. Following. We struggle with following. My wife, Christy, she comes into the living room. What are you doing, Dion? Well, I'm putting together this brand new desk. Well, she asks, why do you have that puzzled look on your face? I answer, well, I think I have it all put together, but for some reason, I have 34 extra screws left over. And then she asks that dreaded question, where are the instructions? And my answer is, huh? For those of you who don't know what huh means, it's a word that is spoken to communicate sentiments like, I don't know where the instructions are, and even if I did, I wouldn't follow the instructions because I'm a man, and I don't need the instructions to put together a desk. I have a picture on the front of the box, and that is all I need to put together this desk and complete this task. So don't ask me any more questions about the directions or the instructions. Now, you see, in that moment, that is a lot of words to speak, so I answer my wife's question with, huh? And remarkably, she understood me. We struggle with following. We struggle with following directions and following instructions and following others. But we also know that following in our lifetimes has been a blessing. Remember when we were kids and void of all the technological advances like cell phones and game units? And remember our parents used to make us go outside to play. We would go outside to play with no equipment, with no balls or no toys. And we would go outside and we would play for hours. We would make up games like Follow the Leader. I don't know who invented that game. I think we all invented it because the game is actually pretty simple and you can play it for hours. Follow the leader. I'm the leader. follow what I do, and you just do things that the leader does for hours. We play games like Simon Says. You don't need any equipment. You don't need any supplies. All you need is just people. And the object of the game is follow the leader. It's a blessing. Or when I think of following, I think of being a parent of young children. I have daughters now who are 16, one going on 20. But I remember when they were children and we would go to places that were unfamiliar and I would grab their hand and they would hold my hand. It was imperative that they held my hand because I wanted them to follow me wherever I went. And to hold my hand was to communicate some important ideas like, where I go, you go. You stay close to me so you can hear my voice. If you are with me, I will not let anything happen to you. Hold my hand. Follow me. Every week since we have experienced this pandemic, it seems we have to be reminded when we gather together that our God is with us. We have to be reminded that God will lead us, that God will feed us, that he will protect us, that he will help us, that he will save us, that he will love us, that he will heal us. On every Zoom call that I have participated in over the past several weeks, it's been encouraging to hear friends and colleagues and family members say things like, we're going to get through this. We're going to be all right because God, he's got this. I shared on Facebook last week that we had to make the unfortunate and sad decision to cancel Central Ohio Work Camp for this year. I also got word that Way of Life Christian Camp, that's the camp that a lot of us go to, church camp, it's been canceled as well. But even as we speak of cancellations, we hear a voice as if it is the Holy Spirit whispering, you're going to be okay. God saying, I got this. And those are the words that seem to emanate or to flow out of the one who says emphatically of himself, I am the good shepherd. How can such a declaration speak to us right now in 2020 during COVID-19 pandemic? What does it mean that Jesus says, I am the good shepherd? It says a lot. Well, one of the things it tells us is that we're sheep. And sheep need a shepherd. They need someone to lead them and feed them. Lead them and feed them in, say, green pastures or beside still waters. They need a shepherd to feed them in the presence of evil and enemies. I don't know about you, church, but this week has been a busy week. It's been a tiring week. As many of you know, I'm coming to the end of completing my master's degree, and I'm in the process of writing some final papers, research papers, and doing research. When you can't go to a library and surround yourself with books, and you've got to go online and get digital copies, and it's just headaches, and it's just hard, and it's tiring, and I got to be honest with you. I'm in need of just some shepherding from the Lord. You know, this idea of lying down by still waters sounds really good right now because I'm a sheep. I'm in need of a shepherd. It tells us that sheep are in need of someone to come heal some of the wounds. I love that phrase in Psalm 23 that says, you anoint my head with oil, and many believe that the oil spoken there that the shepherd anoints the sheep with. It's a medicinal oil. It's an oil that heals wounds, that rubs it on the scabs or rubs it on the wounds there in order to create some healing. We're sheep. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, it speaks to us and tells us of our own condition, that we are sheep and are in need of a shepherd. Jesus saying that I am the good shepherd also, it communicates this idea that Jesus so desires to be in relationship with us. He calls his own sheep by name. He knows our lives. He knows our likes. He knows our dislikes. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our triumphs. He knows our failures. He knows how to soothe us. He knows that there are times that we need him to grab our hand and give us keen direction and orders to sway us away from danger or hurt or harm. The good shepherd knows us and wants to be in relationship with us. You're not just a number or just one of the sheep, but the good shepherd knows you. He knows us. By saying, I am the good shepherd, Jesus is telling us that in this relationship, we will know him. When he gets them all out, he leads them and they follow because they are familiar with his voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice, and anyone who has interacted with shepherds and leading sheep, and you see, I've heard people who have traveled to Palestine, and they see two shepherds come together with their group of sheep, and they'll sit there and they'll talk with each other, and then they'll walk past each other, and this guy's sheep will follow him, and this guy's sheep will follow him, and they know their voice. I remember years ago, I showed my old house I grew up in last week, and I lived upstairs, and I had two cats, Ritz and Patches, that were their names, and I remember that I would walk up the stairs to my apartment upstairs, and as soon as I opened the door, my cats were right there waiting for me, like, hey, bro, you know, can you give us some food? What's up? But interestingly enough, other people would walk up the stairs and open the door, and the cats would not be there. The cats knew the sound of my footsteps. What Jesus is saying when he says, I am the good shepherd, yes, we are sheep. Yes, he wants to have relationship. He knows us. He's also saying it will be such a deep and intimate relationship that we will know him. This is a relationship where we are so intimately connected to Jesus. And because Jesus is so good to us as a shepherd, because he feeds us, because he nurtures us, because he takes us by hand, we have an understanding of how crucial he is to our lives and our life in general. And to this, our shepherd is the one to whom he will give us the best. He'll give us the best life, not just existence. So hear him when he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you will have life and have it abundantly. By saying he's a good shepherd, he's telling all of us that he will lead, so follow him. So even during this time in our lives where we find it very difficult to follow, Jesus is saying, it's okay to follow me because I'll lead you in the right direction on the right paths. The enduring nature of God and the Messiah, Jesus, is that in this relationship, he is willing to lead us into and through any and every circumstance. So like a parent leading their child through busy traffic, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, will lead his sheep through the busyness of life, through darkness, through the pain of rejection and divorce and financial difficulty and doubt and confusion, through the fear of the unknown, and even through this pandemic. I think one of the things that's being realized by many of us as we try to figure out things while we're surrounded by all these question marks is that it's hard for us to follow rules, to follow instructions, to follow authorities in our lives. It's just hard for us to do that. I guess what I'm asking you to do during this time is to reorient your life and to refocus on the Good Shepherd and let him give you a real lesson of what it means to follow and to be led. If you desire his leadership, take his hand today and let him guide you, control you, and lead you. And when it gets murky and scary, and know that he is the Good Shepherd. Know that he knows what he is doing. Know that he is someone who you can follow. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. That's what the Good Shepherd says. So Jesus, the Good Shepherd, displays in this relationship a strength and power needed to reflect his protection of the flock. Shepherds could easily engage in fierce battles with predators to protect their sheep. That's why Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. And it's a place that we may find ourselves reflecting on Jesus saying that I am the gate and the door. So again, Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Here, Jesus offers us perfect leadership and a perfect entrance. He is the gate or the door that leads to life, that leads to that protection where he will lay down his life for his flock. We will explore more of this idea of life in a subsequent sermon in this series, but right now, hear and listen to the Good Shepherd's offer to come through this gate, to come through this door and experience life. Coming through this gate ensures a life of abundance, abundant life, life to the full. I'm talking about real life, not just the mundane, not just existing, but real life in a green pasture, not a brown pasture with dead grass, green pasture, living water with the shepherd. So there is an invitation today that's pretty simple. It's to those who are not part of God's green pasture. There's an invitation for you to experience God, Jesus, his grace, and his leadership. So come through the door. There's an invitation for the sheep who are part of the pasture to experience rest. So let Jesus shepherd your life. As I spoke earlier about my fatigue of just being tired of doing so many things, I need rest. I don't know if you're like me, but this is an invitation to get some real rest with the Good Shepherd. So like we've done in previous weeks, I just want to give you a few moments of silent reflection. If you're not part of God's green pasture, you're not a follower of Jesus, you're not a disciple of Jesus, I want you to spend some time reflecting on that. And I also want you to know that even though we're meeting virtually, we will do whatever is necessary to help you to grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We will do whatever is necessary to teach you about Jesus, to share with you the message of Jesus. We'll do whatever is necessary to help you get to a point where you confess Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior. And that would lead to you perhaps being baptized into Jesus Christ. We will do that. We will make it happen. Just let us know how we can help. And for those of you who are part of God's green, part of God's pasture, the pasture of Jesus, this good shepherd, I want you to reflect on your life right now. And during this season, how has it impacted you and affected you? I want you to spend some time in silence, just asking God, asking Jesus to be your good shepherd. I want to invite you right now to a moment of prayer. Let's pray.